If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shouldn't you be at work?
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
I'll have a low-fat pizza or something like that, or a few biscuits and some milk on a Sunday.
And you can pair up if you like, and you can fucking pick someone else to help you, and you can bring your fucking dinner.
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Tony Hatton!
No!
Hello and welcome to Quickly, Kevin. It's the end of Series 9, and as is tradition, we will finish, as we always do, with the quiz. I'm Chris Skull. Joining me, as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And never mind Bob Holness. He's a real blockbuster of a quiz show host. It's Michael Marden.
Hello.
And our special guest this week, Ivo Graham.
Hello.
And James Gill.
It's lovely to be back.
I should say I'm interested in this because Ivo previously has kind of body swerved the quiz for fear that he doesn't have much knowledge of 90s football. How would you do, Chris, in an 80s football quiz?
I think all right. You know, I've grown up on tales of West Ham's famous third place finish in 86.
It's not all about West Ham.
I've got enough knowledge, I think, to survive.
James?
Really badly. And I also worry that my 90s knowledge isn't what it was since the nippers came along, because some of your passions dwindle, don't they, when the kids come on? There's only so many hours in the day. So I think, I would not back myself at all.
I mean, you're talking to men who've created a specific window outside of their parenting to talk about 90s football on a sort of weekly basis. That's one way to channel it.
This is irrelevant. Have you seen the Everton documentary, Howard's Way, speaking of 80s football?
No, I've seen it on... What a boring response. I've seen it on the Sky Planner and thought,
mate,
not going to happen.
I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
10 Graham Sharps out of 10?
Mate, if you ever... I know it's a 90s... If you ever do that, I would love to cover it, because that documentary, I have no dog in that fight. I'm not an Everton fan. I was practically off my sofa at the end. Peter Reid... He's one of the funniest people of all time. He comes across so well. It's wonderful.
There you go. That's something you don't hear very often. Peter Reid is one of the funniest people of all time.
I've got some 90s clock news on Peter Reid.
Go on.
Michael, can we have the jingle?
From the headquarters of ITN, News at 10 with Chris Skull.
Top story this week, the private life of Peter Reid revealed. Thank you to Tom Jen who sent this in. It's an interview from Peter Reid. I don't have a date, but I suspect it's around about 1990.
So we're preparing for some big laughs here.
Okay. Okay, question one. Peter Reid, if you were invisible, what would you do for the day? Anyone want to guess?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Are these answers that have aged appallingly in the current climate?
It's the opposite of pervy. It's so unpervy, it defies logic. If he was invisible for a day, he'd go to a desert island.
What?
Why?
What
is the logic there?
Why?
It makes
he'd go to a private
no
place.
Sense. Yeah. You're already
invisible,
Peter.
Just to wait for the invisibility
Peter.
To wear off, so he doesn't cause any issues on the mainland. He can only see the problems of being invisible, so he's isolating himself so not to affect humanity with his special gift.
That's like saying, imagine you could fly for a day, what would you do? And they're going, I'd get on a flight somewhere. Like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
How's he getting to the desert island?
Yeah, the invisibility doesn't help.
The invisibility doesn't help him. If anything, it makes it more difficult because he can't...
Call for
he's
help.
Got to find a boat that's already chartered to go there because he can't order one himself.
Is this not the two Ronnie sketch where they've got... Is it Mastermind where they've got the answers jumbled up with the
wrong
questions?
Well, Peter Reed is obviously... he was originally in the two Ronnies because he's one of the funniest people who's ever lived.
Me! Peter Reed! This is a hill I am prepared to die on.
As far as James is concerned, the two Ronnies are Woolworth and Johnson.
What frightens Peter Reed most in the world?
Is it losing his rapier wit?
A hen do in on a Friday night.
The mortgage rate, for what he describes as obvious reasons.
Right.
What's Peter Reed's favourite possession?
Medal.
TV remote.
TV remote. Which, of course, at the time, was a huge step forward.
Straight in at number one.
Dear. They've even included a picture of his TV remote in the interview, like for the magazine,
wow.
Just to show. It's a big old pad. Last one. What is Peter Reed's claim to fame outside football?
He's the funniest man in the world.
Yeah.
Notoriously tight Andy Gray buying him a drink at Everton.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely.
See that bit
lovely.
Of bad.
Lovely stuff.
Although if you have to set up that Andy Gray is tight in the setup.
I've added that on behalf of Peter Reed because I just didn't think it was funny enough. It would just make you, it go.
You've rewritten wow. Peter Reed's...
I looked at that and thought, this is not funny enough. He needs a bit more context here. That he's
so what's Peter Reed's exact answer?
Andy Gray buying me a drink at Everton.
Have you tickled up any of the other answers, Chris? When you said mortgage, for obvious reasons, was for obvious reasons a skull edition as well?
No, it's all there. It's all there. Well, I've opened a can of worms here.
As a sub-editor, he's every writer's nightmare.
I'd be livid if I was Peter Reed and it was printed and that it had it notoriously tight to explain my joke.
People would have got this at the end of this interview and thought, Peter Reed's not funny and it's my fault. Peter Reed. The last question on this interview actually is, who would you most like to be stranded on a desert island with? I don't know this person. Selena Scott? Who's that?
80s newsreader.
She's an 80s newsreader. He's a bit of a sex symbol.
Selena Scott sat there going, I'm all alone on this bloody island.
I've just seen a coconut float past.
I feel like I'm alone, but I just heard a kind of half-complete anecdote about Andy Gray that needed punching up.
You really needed tickling up.
Right, let's do the quiz.
But I'll tell you, you can tell him now if you're watching it, we're still fighting for this title. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Right, time now for the quiz. Yes, as is tradition to close out the series, it's the Quickly Kevin 90s Football Quiz. Now, before we start, I shall have the usual disclaimer. There will almost certainly be a lot of factual inaccuracies, so please don't email or tweet me. It's just a bit of fun now.
One of them is that Peter Reed's the funniest man on earth.
You're mostly playing for pride and bragging rights, but as an added bonus, the winners get to also pick which song plays out at the end of the series, as well as a bundle of QK 90s football goodies, including a Mark Bosnich low-fat pizza tote bag, a John Collins John mouse mat, a beef fuller enamel badge, a set of Do I Remember This Right post-it notes, a QK notebook and pen, a Vote Claude Leroy badge, and a MIDI Letters for Town football in the style of the classic Italia 90 Coca-Cola footballs. Right, time for the quiz. Round one is called Big Man, Little Man. As a tribute to great striking partnerships with the 90s, Chris and Ivo and James and Josh will be required to work together to form a formidable quiz partnership. I will ask a series of questions where the answer is a number. The team closest to the correct answer will win the point. However, Seeing as we're doing this remotely and the teams aren't able to confer, this is how it will work. Each player will write down the answer on a piece of paper. When prompted, they will reveal their guess. I will then add both the numbers from each team together and divide by two to get the average. That will then be the answer for the team. Closest team gets the point. So, here is your first question, and as a little bit of hopefully help to Ivo as the youngest member of the group, all of these are from the 1993-94 season, which was, of course, Swindon Town's only season in the Premier League. Okay. Question one, you have 10 seconds to write down your answer. Remember, no conferring. Swindon Town's first and only season in the Premier League was in the 1993-94 season, where they famously conceded 100 goals. But how many goals in total were scored that season?
In the Premier League?
In the entire Premier League, how many goals were scored that season? Okay, so we will start with you, Josh, and please show your workings.
Okay, my workings are 2.5 goals a game times 10 games a week times 42 weeks, which is 966.
James, your answer, please.
My workings are, I panicked and wrote down 478.
You think Swindon conceded over a fifth of the goals scored in the Premier League that season?
The key word to take away, Ivo, is panicked.
Okay, Chris, your answer and your workings, please.
They might have some bad maths at play here, but if there's 22 teams in the Premier League then I think you do 21 times 21 to work out how many games there would be, times 2.2 average goals, which is 970.
Okay, 970 for Chris.
Oh, four off me, Chris.
Yeah.
Ivo, your answer,
I don't
please.
Like this precision stuff. I just had a big old whack at 1450.
1450.
That is quite a lot, obviously. Sorry, James. I too panicked in a different way.
Okay, so Josh and James, your average score is 722.
That's low.
Chris and Ivo, your average score is 1,210. The correct answer, the total number of goals scored that season was 1,195.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh my word, you were 15 off. That's incredible.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Well done.
Excellent.
Really good. What a season.
Question number two. That same season also saw Oldham Athletic make their only Premier League appearance, relegated one place above Swindon in 21st. Their ground, Boundary Park, had the lowest capacity in the league at the time. But how many could it hold?
That's a great question. And you know, you need us to show our workings by stand.
It was the smallest ground in the Premier League at the time.
It's the smallest ground in the Premier League that season, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we will start with you then, please, Chris, and show some rough workings if you have them.
I'm sure that Liddell was 15,000, so it would have to be less than that. So I've gone 13,000.
Ivo, your answer, please.
Oh, I've pitched it too low, I think, at 8,000.
8,000?
Yes, I've pitched it too low.
So that gives you an average of 10,500.
Oh, that's Josh, not too bad. Mate, I'm not Josh, unhappy with it. What's James Josh done here?
Let's leave James to the end then, because that sounds like that's the fun one. I've gone 14,000, Michael. 1-4.
14,000. And James.
Right, as a Crystal Palace fan, who's always been embarrassed by it, because our stadium was 26,000, which I always felt was on the low side.
So I've
gone a bit less than that. I've gone Boundary Park. What was I thinking? I've gone 24,000.
Bloody
24,000? Oh,
Forget it. You'd be in the top 10, I reckon, that season with 24,000.
Okay, so your average answer is 19,000.
Oh, forget it.
Against Chris and Ivo's 10,500, I can tell you the correct answer. The capacity for Boundary Park was 13,512.
Don't worry, James, there's a lot to play for yet.
am I on the receiving end of that speech already?
Question number three. Top goal scorer that season was the artist formerly known as Andy Cole. but how many did Andrew bag for Newcastle in the league that season?
I know that.
It's a great question.
What are you going for, James? 10 or 50?
So, this time round, we're going to start with you, please, Ivo.
Well, I've written quite a high number, but I suddenly think maybe it's not high enough. I think it was a really good season for him. I've gone 28.
Great.
28 for Ivo. Josh,
just,
you're on
just for
please.
Listeners, James Gill's got his head in his hands.
Oh,
already.
My God, what's he done now?
Well, let's save
Hang
him
on,
to the
you
end.
Did say, you did say Dixie Dean, yeah?
Josh, your answer, please.
34. I think he really banged him in.
34. Okay, Chris, your answer, please.
I've gone 30.
James.
Oh, no.
Boy from Horsforth Leeds, 34.
I suppose it is a bigger season then, isn't it? More teams to play.
Let's pretend that, yes, I was factoring that in.
Well, we've both gone 34, so it hints that maybe that is the right answer, because that's a number we've both...
I don't know, man.
I don't think it's that high. I'm sure it's not that high.
Ivo and Chris, your average score for the total number of goals Andy Cole scored that season was 29. James and Josh, your average is obviously 34. I can tell you the correct answer was 34 goals.
Oh, my God!
Yes! Oh, man. Skull looks absolutely broken by that.
I'm devastated there. I would describe that as a point against the run of play.
I'd describe that as a sucker punch.
That's fair.
A needless goal just before half-time. It totally changes the team talk.
Final question this round. Slight variation. Pens and papers at the ready, please. Finally, and incredibly, those 34 goals were not enough for Andrew to be selected in the PFA Team of the Year. I would like you to individually and privately write down who you think the PFA Team of the Season was that year, or who were in it. For each answer a member of your team gets correct, you will receive 1 point each. If both players correctly identify the player, you will receive an extra bonus point. And to give you some help, I can offer the following clues. The team selected was a 4-3-3 formation and contained players from the following clubs. There were 4 Manchester United players, 3 Blackburn Rovers players, 2 Leeds United players, 1 Arsenal and 1 Newcastle.
If I can name 2 players who played for Leeds in that season, I'll be very pleased.
Yeah, I know. I'm really struggling with those 2 Leeds players.
While the teams work out their answers, here's a little montage of Mr. Andrew Cole scoring some of his finest goals. So, going to reveal the PFA Team of the Year for that season. We're going to start with the goalkeeper.
Should we just shout out if we've got them then?
Yeah, the goalkeeper was from Blackburn Rovers.
Oh no!
Mr. Tim Flowers.
Yes!
Oh, well done, Gil.
This is going to stitch me up.
At right back from Leeds United, Mr. Gary Kelly.
Oh no.
I was trying to think of his name. I couldn't.
There goes my Arsenal as well. Yeah. Absolute shambolic start.
At centre back from Manchester United, Gary Pallister.
Yes, I got that one. That's a point for me.
The other centre back from Arsenal, Mr. Tony Adams.
Yes.
At left back from Manchester United.
Yes.
Mr. Dennis Irwin.
Yes. Oh, got Irwin at right back.
You've got him in the team.
He's in the team, so it's allowed.
You get your bonus point as well, your team.
In midfield, three-man midfield. First up of Manchester United, Mr. Paul Ince.
Yes!
Yes! Oh,
for crying out loud.
Alongside him of Leeds United, Mr. Gary McAllister.
Stop it!
And completing the three in midfield of Blackburn Rovers, friend of the show, Mr. David Batty.
Yes!
Oh, James!
Up front of Blackburn Rovers, Mr. Alan Shearer.
Yes.
Did you get that, Gil?
Did
you get it, Ivo?
I did.
Alongside him, from Manchester United, Mr. Eric Cantona.
Yes.
Got that.
And then completing the 11, and you'd imagine keeping out his teammate, Mr. Andy Cole from Newcastle, Mr. Peter Beardsley.
Oh, what?
I've skewed my whole team by thinking Shearer had already gone to Newcastle. He went a couple of years later, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm surely the only one who went with a three-man midfield of Tim Sherwood, Stuart Ripley and David Hopkin. who hadn't even gone to Leeds by that point.
Okay, that's the end of that round. Time for round two. So the next round is a familiar favourite, starting 11. In this round, I will give you a classic football match from the 90s. Each team will then take it in turn to name a player from either side who appeared in that game.
Yes.
If at any point you name a player who did not appear during the match, you are eliminated. And that includes both used and unused substitutes. The game in question is from the 1998-99 season and features the biggest away win of that season, Manchester United's 8-1 victory over Nottingham Forest. Ivo, would you like to kick things off, please?
Friend of the show, Steve Bruce.
Oh.
Too late.
What?
Incorrect.
I think it's too late. Oh, no. It's gone. What? Oh, dear. Golden Duck.
Wow. That's disappointing.
James, you're next, please.
Dwight York.
Correct. Chris.
Hang on. Sorry. This is a bit pathetic from me. I thought this game was in 93-94.
Oh.
Oh, come on, mate.
I'm sorry, I didn't really listen. I just was... my head's been in 93-94 because all of the questions were about that so far.
I mean, I even said this is the 98-99 season.
I'm very happy to step out of the quiz, but I would like to make it clear that I know that Steve Bruce had left Man United by 1998.
I am happy to allow Ivo.
No.
Yeah, I am.
I don't want to win in these circumstances.
Knowing Ivo as we do, he is a man of unimpeachable character, and I believe that his mind was in the 93-94 season, so I'm happy to let him pick again with this new knowledge. Ivo?
Even though I got a golden duck in the quiz, I heard James say Dwight York, and for a second I thought, well, he's embarrassed himself there. He was barely at Villa in 1993.
Okay, Ivo, your turn.
Pierre Van Hooijdonk.
Oh, that's my ace card on my sleeve.
Correct.
I'd like to go with Peter Schmeichel, please.
Correct.
Scott Gemmell. Oh, God.
What a needless gamble that was.
What? It's not that needless.
What an astonishingly needless gamble that is.
No.
Early doors.
Correct.
Oh! Wow. Isn't that mental?
Showboating from the off.
Gary Neville.
Correct.
Dennis Irwin.
Incorrect.
Oh.
So, Chris, your turn.
Mr. Steve Chettle.
Wow.
This is insane.
Is it?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Shit. Surely.
There he is. Icarus flying too close to the sun.
Josh.
Giggs. Ryan Giggs.
Incorrect.
Wow.
An astonishing situation where Ivo's now won.
It leaves a sour taste, doesn't it?
That leaves a very sour taste in the mouth as Ivo wins the...
Wow. Wow. This is something for Gary and the boys to talk about back in the studio.
Can I say Colin Calderwood, just to see if it was right?
It was incorrect.
Well, there we go.
As if it isn't a painful enough victory as it is, he's managed to finish with an incorrect answer as well. The rules are the rules. We all played the
absolutely
game as
rules.
We...
Tell the referee, he's just cost me my job.
Okay, time for the next round.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Now, this one is all about footballer names, sign-offs in tribute to Chris's now iconic Robbie Slater, See You Later. Here's how it works. Listeners have been sending in their suggestions on variations on that sign-off. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a variation on that farewell sign-off. You need to give me the name of the footballer that goes with it. 1 point for each correct answer, and I may also give a point for a good answer that the listener has not included but does match. Okay, so there's eight here. Chris, you go first. I want you to pick a number between 1 and 8. I'll give you the language sign-off. I want you to give me the player that goes with it. 8. Number 8 is Have a Good Day.
I can't stop thinking Have a Good Day, James May. Have a Good Day, David May.
Correct.
Yes.
Can I just say, Chris, that was bloody good. I thought that was hard. No, seriously.
I was... In my head, I was thinking, Lucas Radebay?
Mate, exactly the same. Lucas Radebay.
Okay. Josh, pick a number between 1 and 8. Number 1. Okay. Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Efanakoku.
Can I have a guess?
Yeah, you can have a guess.
Toodaloo, Pian Luvu. Just wanted to say.
Both.
Pian Luvu.
Not great answers.
No, I wouldn't give any bonus.
I think phonetically you're fudging it slightly.
Yeah, I don't think either of those worth a point.
The answer given by our listener is Toodaloo Philippe Cocu.
Oh, that doesn't really much like that really works.
Jesus Christ.
Ivo, you're up next, please. A number between 2 and 7.
2.
Okay, number 2. Ta-ta for now.
Raymond van der Hau.
Oh, it's good. Wow. It's doing the points.
That's very good. It's not what they've got, but I'm giving you a point for that. The answer they had given was ta-ta for now, Ken Moncow.
Oh, Ken Moncow, yeah.
But Ivo gets a point for Raymond van der Hau. James, number between 3 and 7, please.
4.
Sealed with a kiss.
That's a good one as well.
Right, I want to say Matt Lattice, but I know that's not his name.
That's what I was going to say.
No, yeah. No, I've got another guess if that's not right.
Go on, Skull.
Mark Fish.
Hang on a minute. No, I'm lucky with Matt Lattice, apparently.
I think neither of those are good enough. Neither of those are good enough. The correct answer is Sealed with a Kiss, Andrei Kanchelskis.
Fuck off.
That's crap. That's
No.
It's not rhyme, it's the same word. Same rhyme. Noise.
Chris, your next numbers 3, 5, 6, and 7 remain.
3, please.
Cheerio.
Oh, is that it? Oh, man.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Something that ends in a no.
Good work, Scott.
Yeah, just thinking it through.
I know
Cheerio.
It.
Cheerio. Cheerio. Tony, your bow.
Michael,
James, please. James, go on for the steal.
Torre André Flo.
That's too early. Is
good.
It?
It's good, but it's not correct. And unfortunately, I can't give you a point because you were trying to steal. The correct answer was, had that been your round, I would have let you steal. The correct answer was Cheerio, Graham Lasso.
Very good. Very good. What was that? After 6 attempts, they've got one. Well done. Well done, listener.
Josh, you're next. 5, 6, or 7?
6.
Number 6, Got to Go.
Can I have Tor André Flo? Because that's good enough. Or I could have Jostein Flo as well.
Tricky now, because someone else gave that answer and you've stolen it for a steal. However, was it your teammate that said Torre André Flo?
Yeah, it was James. Yeah.
Then I think collectively I can give you the bonus point for that.
Right.
The correct answer was Got to Go, Janino.
Bloody hell.
Ivo, number 5 or number 7, please?
5, please.
Number 5. Back in a jiff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling to get anyone with this with that rhymes. Sorry.
That's a tough one.
Think of a, like a marine based surname, maybe.
Mark Fish.
Hey,
it works. Better some of the shit he's coming out with.
Yes, I've got nothing for this one, I'm afraid, Michael.
The correct answer was back in a jiff, Andy Hinchcliffe.
That
is appalling.
And final one, number 7.
Yes.
Au revoir.
Oh, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
David Ginola.
Of course it is.
The correct answer, and the clue was also in the number of number 7.
Cantona.
Au revoir, Cantona. Okay, time for the next round. It's the first 90s football mastermind. Each player will get 90 seconds to answer 10 questions on their chosen specialist subject. 1 point for each correct answer. First up in the spotlight is James, who has chosen the seminal 90s documentary Graham Taylor, An Impossible Job, as his mastermind subject. James, your time starts now. On what date was the programme originally broadcast?
24th of Jan 1994.
Fucking hell, man. Taylor's iconic touchline performances included the quotes, "Do I not like that? Do I not like that? And can we not knock it?" during an away game against which opponents?
Norway.
Poland. Who were Taylor's two assistants during the film?
Laurie McMenemy, Phil Neal.
Correct. How did the film crew sneak their cameras and equipment into the stadium for the infamous Holland match?
Posing as members of the press.
Incorrect. They hid it in the kit bags. Who directed the film?
No idea. Gary Bodgkins.
Ken McGill. Which journalist makes a cameo appearance in the film?
Rob Shepherd.
Yes.
Correct. During the Holland match, there are a series of controversial decisions which lead to Taylor's iconic, "I'm just saying to your colleague, the referee has got me the sack. Thank him ever so much for that, won't you?" speech to the linesman. But can you name either the referee or the linesman from that game?
Oscar Schmidt.
Carl Joseph Assenmacher or Marcus Merck?
Oscar Schmidt is such a great guess.
Who does Taylor visit? Who does Taylor visit on camera to tell him he has been stripped of the captaincy?
David Platt.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. And who has he chosen as his replacement?
Stuart Pearce.
Correct. And finally, after how many seconds did England concede against Minnows San Marino?
13.
8 seconds. Congratulations, James. You scored 4 points. Up next in the hot seat is Mr. Ivo Graham.
Yes.
Who has chosen as his subject Swindon Town 1993-94 season. Your time starts now. Swindon famously conceded 100 goals that season, but how many did they score?
45.
43. Oh. And who was the top goal scorer with 13 in all competitions?
Jan Arge Fjortoft.
Correct.
All after the new year.
How many games into the season was it before Swindon chalked up their first win of the campaign?
Oh, it was record-breaking at the time, although it's since been surpassed multiple times, most recently by Sheffield United. I think it was 13.
It was 17. Swindon's first ever top-flight victory came on the 24th of November 1993 when a Keith Scott goal gave them a 1-0 home win over which opposition?
QPR did the double.
Correct. Who was their manager that season, having replaced Glenn Hoddle when he left for Chelsea?
John Gorman.
Correct. Which 90s cult figure was their first choice goalkeeper that season?
Fraser Digby.
Correct. To the nearest 1,000, what was the average home league attendance that season?
15,000.
Correct. 15,274. In which round of both the FA and League Cup were they knocked out?
Third.
Correct. Which club legend made the most appearances that season?
Sean Taylor.
Correct. In total, How many games did they win that season?
5.
Correct. And finally, John Gorman spoke of his hope that Swindon would soon return to the Premiership, saying Swindon wouldn't be in Division 1 for long. What happened to Swindon that following season?
They were relegated again.
Correct.
That's a particularly mean-spirited question at this time of year.
You scored an impressive 8
Very
out of
good.
10.
Very good.
Well, if this is the final round, maybe I could break the tension here with a little more from Peter Reid's interview.
Oh, yeah, go
so,
on.
Some evidence here that supports James Gill's assertion that he's really funny. Who is your best friend, Peter Reid?
Richard Pryor.
Oh, well, he could be in there because Peter Reid says, I have too many to mention.
Oh.
Yes.
But here's a good one. If Peter Reid had one wish, what would it be?
Selena Scott's bathing on a desert island and I'm there, but she doesn't know I'm there.
30 years, fixed rate.
To get back the £40, Manchester City's assistant manager, Mick Heaton, owes me. One wish.
Yes.
Okay, next mastermind. Josh, you are in the hot seat. And your mastermind subject is the life and career of Peter Shilton. Your time starts now. In what year was Peter Shilton born?
He was born in 1949.
Correct. In total, how many club appearances did he make?
1,112.
1,005. How many England caps did he get?
126.
125.
Ah!
In what year did he make his England debut?
72.
1970. At which two clubs did he start and end his career?
He started his career at Leicester.
Yep.
And he ended his career at Leyton Orient.
Correct. Shilton joined Stoke City in November 1974 for a world record for a goalkeeper at that time. How much was the fee?
£70,000.
£325,000. Shilton's 100th cap was against the Netherlands. Which striker put a hat-trick past him?
Van Basten.
Correct. How many times has Peter Shilton won the FA Cup?
0.
Correct. How tall is Peter Shilton?
6'1".
6 foot. And finally, how many penalties did he save at Italia 90?
0.
Correct. Josh, you scored 5 points.
Happy with that.
Finally, Chris, you're in the mastermind hot seat, and you have chosen for your subject the life and career of Robson and Jerome.
Stretching a bit with the life bit, I've not too more the career.
So, heading into this final mastermind round, I'm not going to give you the exact score, but I will tell you that Josh and James are just in the lead.
Okay. Okay.
They're just in the lead.
So I reckon if we get into the fives and above.
Chris?
Yes.
Your time starts now. What are the full names, including middle names, of the duo?
Jerome Flynn and... I don't know.
Full names are Robson Golightly Green and Jerome Patrick Flynn.
The fact he couldn't name Robson Green is a good sign, James.
Question number two. The duo's musical catalogue was composed entirely of covers. Their version of Unchained Melody stayed at number one for 7 weeks on the UK chart, becoming the best-selling single of 1995. But how many copies to the nearest 100,000 did it sell?
1.8 million.
Correct.
Wow-wee.
Question number three. The song was a double A-side with which other song?
White Cliffs of Dover.
Correct. Can you name their two other number one singles?
What Becomes of the Broken Hearted and I Believe.
Correct. How much money did Simon Cowell offer them they refused to record a third album?
£3 million.
Correct. What was the name of their first album?
Is it just Robson and Jerome?
It was correct.
Yeah.
What was the name of their second album?
Take Two.
Correct.
Oh, this is...
Robson Green was born in Hexham, Northumberland. But where was Jerome Flynn born?
Newcastle.
He was born in Bromley in Kent. Which famous producing team created the majority of their songs?
Stock and Aitken.
Yes.
Stock, Aitken, Waterman, I'm afraid.
Ah!
And finally, what record does their third single hold?
It was a AAA single. The first, the only number one to feature a AAA side.
Correct.
Oh, my word.
It was the only single release as a AAA side to go to number one. Yeah.
Very good.
Congratulations, Chris. You scored on the life and times and career of Robson and Jerome. An impressive 7 out of 10.
Hold on, Chris. That was really good.
And unfortunately, that is enough. Or fortunately, that is enough for
yes.
Chris and yes. Ivo to take the victory.
Well done.
Well done. And, you know, and guys, seriously, Ivo, Chris, don't dwell on the nature. No, honestly, don't let that haunt your dreams the way you want it, because that's it's not... The listeners wouldn't want that, especially when they're trying to think of better things that rhyme. Just let's just move on. You deserved it. Well done. Well done.
It's a beautiful victory.
So all that's left to say is thank you to our guests today and our guests across the series. Chris, Ivo, it's your choice of which song you'd like to play out the series.
What about, Ivo, the B-side from Unchained Melody, the number one for 7 weeks, The White Cliffs of Dover by yes. Robson and Jerome?
That seems... only appropriate.
And the White Cliffs of Dover are exactly what we'll be seeing as me and you put on our invisibility cloaks and drift off to our desert island.
Well, look, can I just say something before we go? Josh and I, we the reason why we have to go now is because we've got tickets to see Peter Reed live.
In all seriousness, if I found out Peter Reed was playing the O2, I would go.
The O2!
Yeah. You'd be able to get tickets and tell you that for free.
Tell you what, mate. It'd be quite echoey in there.
So that's it for Series 9. A huge thank you to our guests, Phil Thompson, Caroline Barker, Ben Clark, Andreas Bremer, Tom Parry, Nick Hancock, James Gill and Matt Ford. We'll be back after a Christmas break. But if you want more Quickly Kevin, there's plenty more to be had over on our Patreon, on the Quickly Kevin Fan Club. There's a whole series of episodes with Ivo Graham as we go through, chapter by chapter, the Steve Bruce classic Striker, plus a whole range of other exclusive episodes. To sign up, go over to patreon.com/quicklykevin. That's it for this series. We'll see you after the Christmas break. Until then...
Sealed with a kiss.
Sealed with a kiss.
Andrei Kanchelskis.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see. There'll be when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be blue. Christian Wade.